So I would like to introduce our next presenter is Carol Miles, and from Washington State University.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carol.
Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you. So I'm presenting this on behalf of my graduate student Kelly Atterbury, who selected to go to the nutrition conference down in San Diego, which was great. So I'll present this presentation in horticulture here. And our other collaborator on this presentation is Leanne Riddle, who is a county extension support specialist in the SNAP Ed program. So I don't know how many of you are familiar with that program, but so I'm in the Department of Horticulture. Kelly is a master's student, and Leanne is in the SNAP Ed coordinator in one of the counties where we're working. All right. So the goals of this project were to implement a kindergarten through 12th grade pulse education program. We were working with a school garden program in our region, so I'm in Northwest Washington, to deliver nutrition, biology, and math lessons through a curriculum. The overall goal was to promote healthy eating behavior among children, school-age children, and essentially was to increase consumption of dry beans by those students in our target classes. And we evaluated the impact of education, and that's the piece I'm going to be presenting here, is the evaluation of the curriculum that we delivered. But the project is certainly much bigger than that overall. So school gardens on a national level, the 31% of the school districts in the nation and throughout the United States have reported that they have school gardens, and they have self-reported 2,400 school gardens across the United States. In Washington State, 26% of our school districts have reported that they have school gardens, and they self-reported 71 school gardens. We think that that's an under counting of the number of school gardens in Washington, and probably at the national level, but that's what they reported in a very recent survey. So 49% of the Washington school districts are promoting locally purchased food through the school, so this is a farm-to-school program. So this project is designed to bring together the farm-to-school program with locally produced pulse crops, with the school gardens, and then with the education program that is going on in the schools currently. So we have created and implemented a school garden-based curriculum. It brings together the interdisciplinary Common Core standards, the new national next generation science standards, and it's STEM-based, so that's science, technology, engineering, and math. We've designed three lessons that we have implemented. We implemented them in the fall of 2013, and then we revised and re-implemented in the spring of 2014. When we did these classes in 2013 fall, we did them at two levels. We did them at the fourth grade level and the 10th grade level. And when we were invited back in the spring, we were invited back at the fourth grade level. We were not invited back at the ninth grade level. And I think the reason for that, I think I just learned yesterday in the keynote address, which is that the fourth graders are the only, fifth grade, are the only two grades in the country that have a requirement for plant-based education. The ninth grade and high schools do not have a requirement in their core standards for plant science. And so it's really hard for the teachers to take on extra lessons. The teachers are not going to take on extra lessons, whereby our curriculum fit directly into the curriculum that the teachers were delivering anyway, and so we were able to augment and enforce the lessons that they already had to deliver. So that's my theory as to why we were invited back in the fourth grade. So just looking briefly at some background information about why we're doing this, in the United States as of 2012, the publication is 2013, CDC, Center for Disease Control, less than 10% of the children in the United States, this is ages 4 through 13, consume the recommended amount of fruits and vegetables. So we have a huge detriment in terms of diet consumption in the United States with our youth, and that carries on into adult years. Prevalent diseases caused by poor diet and lack of exercise. As of 2012, heart disease became the primary cause of death in the United States, and this is directly related to diet and lack of exercise. Obesity has more than doubled in children of ages 6 through 11 and tripled in adolescents and youth of ages 12 through 19 in the past 30 years. These are huge health concerns in the United States. Diabetes type 2 affects 150,000 young adults under the age of 18 as of last year. So these are, you know, quite substantial health concerns stemming from healthy eating habits, essentially adopted by youth and then taken on into older ages. So we were very interested in seeing, is there a way for us to adapt a curriculum at the school gardens, which is a growing movement in the United States. It was a way for us to design a curriculum that then had an impact on healthy eating habits. So we're just at the beginning of this project. Kelly is a master's student. She's just completed 1 year. We're revising the curriculum right now. She'll go back into the classrooms in the fall and the spring, and we'll teach it again for her second year. So the results we're presenting are just our preliminary data based on 1 year. So to go along a little bit with this, at the national level legislation, the National Dietary Guidelines for Americans recommends 3 cups of pulses per week. The school cafeterias, if you're a recipient of the free reduced lunch program, you are required to serve 1/2 cup of pulse per week. Now, I think we all recognize there's a difference between serving and consuming. So what's going on right now, if you're listening to the news at all, there's a lot of concern on the behalf of the school lunch programs that they're throwing away a lot of food. They're spending a lot of money on their food programs right now because of these requirements, and a lot of that food gets thrown away because the children don't eat it. Now, I think we all recognize that it would be good if the children ate this food. It's healthy food. It builds for a healthy lifestyle. But the reality is they choose not to eat it. So is there anything we can do to help promote consumption of healthy food? So that's, again, the basis of this program that we're working on here, our project. So USDA started providing dry beans in the dry, uncooked form, as well as pre-cooked in cans with low sodium. Low sodium is really critical there. The USDA refused to provide canned beans at the high sodium level, which is what you buy in the grocery store. So the companies had to go back, reformulate, and provide a product that would be allowable under the USDA standards. And that is now in the classroom throughout the United States, or in the cafeteria. So we have some good resources to pull from. So the objectives of our curriculum were, or of this project, were to create a K-12 school garden-based curriculum. And again, we did that for the 4th grade and the 9th grade in the fall, and then we went back in the spring and we revised only at the 4th grade level because that's where the demand is. And now, as I said, I understand why the demand is there, and that's a good thing. We then measured dry bean preference and knowledge. We surveyed students before and after they received the education, before they participated in these classes. One of the things we're going to be doing is looking at dry beans served and consumed in the school cafeteria meals. I will say we did a study. We did a plate waste study in the fall. It was a little problematic, so I won't go over that today. Lots of coordination that has to happen to do plate waste studies in a school cafeteria. And anybody wants to discuss that, I'll certainly be happy to discuss it, but I won't be presenting those results today. Dry beans are the crop that we selected for our pulse in this studies because they grow well in my area. I don't know how many of you are familiar with pulse crops in general, but dry beans, lentils, dry peas, garbanzos are the main pulse crops served in the United States. Garbanzos and dry beans are the two primary pulse crops served in school cafeterias. Garbanzos are served, basically you just empty the can, put a little cup on the food line, and you expect your student to pick up that little cup of drained, canned garbanzos or dry beans. That's the way you're expected to eat them. So there are problems with that. I think, again, everybody who's involved in the system understands there are problems. But so we cannot grow garbanzos or chickpeas. We can't grow them in my region, but we can grow dry beans. So that's the crop we selected to work with. Pulses are really, they're actually very interesting from the school perspective because they're inexpensive protein sources for the school. So there's an interest among the schools to actually encourage consumption. So trying to get this all to work, we have a lot of support from our school systems. And again, our curriculum is based on the core standards. So we are using the core standards, the national standards, for the curriculum that we've designed. So again, sorry, this just it reiterates that. We're using the National Common Core Standards and the Next Generation Standards. And we're including nutrition, biology, math, and we're building that into the school garden. So we take the students, they're in the classroom. This is Kelly delivering a class early on in the year in the school, in the classroom, and then we take the children out into the school garden. So it's a two-part in-classroom school garden activity. In this study, in the spring, we carry this out in 6 classrooms in 2 counties, Whatcom and Skagit, which are the 2 northmost counties in Northwest Washington. So we have the students plant the beans in the spring. So this is the spring curriculum. So they're planting the beans here in their school garden, and they're using rulers, they're using tape measures to measure the distance between the seed, and then they go back and do various measurements. So this is the math component of the class. And then they go back in the fall and they harvest and they thresh and they look at the seed component. So it's a cycle, so that life cycle of the plant is built into the whole school round curriculum. So then this is our survey that I'll present the data for. It's a very simple one-page survey. The number of students included in the study was 119. One of our teachers was teaching fourth and fifth grade, so she taught the class in both her fourth and fifth grade class, so we did have a fifth grade class represented here. We also had a control class, which was one class that did not receive the education, so that's our control group in this study. It's a pencil and paper survey, one page in length, 8 questions, and basically we're targeting, the questions target whether or not the students show an increased preference, what their preference is for dry beans, and what their knowledge is about nutrition and biology of dry beans. Again, you can see the 8 questions, one page. Analysis was Wilcoxon signed rank test, and measured, it's a match survey response for pre and post education. So here are the results from the preference responses, 4 questions, and you can essentially see that blue bar is pre-education, red bar is post-education. In all cases, the response level of the students increased after following the education, and this difference was greater than the control group. So the control group that did not receive the education, the students who received the education showed a marked increase in. The first question is, how would you feel if the school cafeteria was to serve more beans? And the students who received the education, their preference level went up. Do you eat dry beans? The second question, and you can see that they indicated that they ate more dry beans after they've participated in the curriculum. Would you like to eat more dry beans? They indicated they would like to eat more dry beans. And then, do you think beans are a healthy food choice? And that went up quite a bit here as well. But I was actually kind of surprised at how many students initially felt that dry beans were a healthy food choice, even prior to the education. So in the knowledge survey, again, we just had a series of questions about the biology and nutrition component of this, what the information that they received. Dietary fiber was a big part of the education. They had a class on dietary fiber. And except for the center question here in protein, they didn't understand that beans were in both the vegetable and the protein category on the MyPlate standard. Again, their knowledge went up following education. So this is just a summary, really, of those results there. So essentially, students who participated in the education, their knowledge and understanding of dry beans and nutrition increased based on their participation in the class. And it's really just a summary of what happens there. And I would like to just point out in this picture here, you can see right there, that is a calculator with the science journal. And so one of the things our class was able to do, and this was a response that we got on our teacher feedback, that they were so excited about the fact that their students were taking calculators into the school garden. They were calculating germination rates. They were calculating plant heights. They were using their calculators, rulers. They had to do it collaboratively. They had to do it in partnership. It brought in a lot of learning skills and attributes into the garden. And this made the teachers very happy, because otherwise the gardens are actually just kind of there. There's not a lot of learning activities that go on, that, and especially not tied to the standards. So I think our curriculum really brings a lot of opportunity that way. So the next steps, we're in the process right now of revising the curriculum. So we just had teacher feedback surveys. We had observation. We had observers in the classroom separate from the teachers who were observing making sure that what was written on paper, what the teachers actually taught, so validating the delivery of the curriculum. So we're just going over all of that. We're in the process of revising, and then we'll deliver it again in the fall and then in the spring. Let's see. Assessing availability and opportunities of pulses served in school cafeterias. This is the next big item that we're going to be taking on. We did do some work last year working with the school service directors about dry beans, pulses in general in the cafeteria. Again, they're all very, very interested in trying to increase consumption. So they really want to work with anybody out there who has ideas about how to increase consumption of dry beans, pulses in general, in the school cafeteria. So we have a survey going on, or starting to do a survey in the fall with all the school food service directors in our region. And I'll just end with this slide right here. And the first one, it takes a lot of collaboration to do a project like this, to work, get into the elementary schools, teach these classes, do an assessment of the curriculum. So I can't thank all of the contributors enough for this. All the schools we work with, school service directors, et cetera. And then all the support staff at the county level. So our funders, just a quick word, is the American Pulse Association and the Northwestern Agriculture Research Foundation. So that's my presentation. I think I have a minute for questions?
A
minute.
Are the three lessons only on the beans and the pulses? And then how do you implement it in the school? Is it through science teachers? Like how is it, what through what teachers?
Yeah, so the lessons, the three lessons are nutrition, and that's focused, a lot of that is focused on protein and fiber. Then there's a lesson on seed and plant physiology life cycle. I'm trying to think, there's three lessons. It's escaping me what the third one is, I apologize. For the most part, at fourth grade, our fourth grade classes, they have a science teacher, and so it is indeed the science teacher that's implementing the curriculum. Did I miss part of a question, or is that it? Right. We haven't taken on the question of the food served in the cafeteria because that's a whole different set of questions. And so that's why we started last year working in the cafeteria, and I was saying it's very complicated.
Yep.
Very, very complicated working in the cafeteria and looking at what's served on the food line. That's, you know, God, that's somebody's career. Absolutely. So what we're starting to do now is we're starting to work with the school food service, with the directors, with the cooks, with the line staff, to look at how they're serving, how it could be presented, what the recipes are. But that's very different from the in-class curriculum.
Oh, yes.
So
it might change your outcomes of them actually eating them instead of throwing it out.
Right, but I think it's more complicated than that. I honestly think it's more complicated than just the fact that, you know, maybe the kids aren't aware of what they're getting served. And you're right, emptying a can and putting it in a cup on the line is not very appetizing.
No.
You're absolutely right. So there's a whole culture that has to go on here. The other thing is, you know, most schools don't have cafeterias. You know that, right? They're just heat and serve. So is everybody familiar with that in the United States? Most schools do not have kitchens. They receive a product at 9 o'clock in the morning from on a heated stack, and they put that product into, they empty, you know, take it out of the truck, and they put it into a heat and serve unit in their kitchen, quote unquote, and then they just put it on the line as the kids come through. It's a really complex situation. So really trying to address this from that level.
Another story.
Big story. So thank you.
We're out of time, but if you want to...